I like that song. It's like chill.
It is pretty chill.
Yeah. It's pretty chill. This is video number another one. That's just what we're going to call it. Video number another one. Need to get that on the soundboard, man. I still have this one.
Here we go.
Nah, it's 2022. Time for some new sound effects.
We need to do it. Anybody out there that wants to send us some sound clips, appropriate sound clips, you guys know where to find us. So send us a message. How are you doing, dude? I know you said you were like sleeping and you were working and it's been crazy.
Yeah. You know, it's all right. It's all right. They actually just put us into another lockdown starting, I think, today or yesterday.
Yesterday, I think.
Yeah. So my son's going back into online school and all that kind of fun stuff. They locked down all the gyms, so there's another reason I can't go to them.
Like you were going?
Yeah, well, you know.
You're walking in with, like, what is it called? Hortons? Hortons Hero Who?
Not Horton Hero Who, it's Tim Hortons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're walking in with your donuts and coffee. mm-hmm. That's your Starbucks?
No, we have Starbucks.
But that's, like, the competitor?
Well, Starbucks is kind of in its own field because they're just too expensive.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was listening to. So you know, the road trip that I took from Cali periodically. Nice. Love the shirt. If you guys are listening to the audio, his shirt says jokes. It looks like a periodic table, but there's only three.
It says boxes. I tell dad jokes periodically.
Yeah. Puns intended. So when I was driving, when I did my summer road trip, 9 different states, bro. Like I was like looking into them, just like, holy crap, man. I'm like, me and Bella made some tracks, you know?
Yeah.
If you guys don't know who Bella is, that is my puppy. She is a year and a month. but there was a comedian I was listening to, and he's from Mexico, but he said that he went to Starbucks and he was just like, I want a coffee. And they're just like, okay, do you want a Mexicano? Do you want a...
Did they call it a Mexicano?
No.
There's no way they called it a... I was like, you're lying to me right now.
That's the joke, right? Because they call it an Americano. So he's just like, they're like, do you want a Mexicano? Do you want a... They're naming like all these different types of...
Fancy.
You drink. Know, he was just like, do you want the cartel with nitrous? Oh my God. It was, and he's just like, how much is it? Just, you know, just black coffee, and you know, I want a good one, like a, you know, just black strong coffee. He's like, oh yeah, the Mexicano, it's gonna be what I forget how many pesos he said, but he said that was equivalent to like 10 US dollars, and I'm just like, holy crap, for a black coffee. And then he's like, no. He's like, I just want a plain black coffee. And they're just like, yeah, that's what it is. And he's just like, does it have like foam in it? And they're like, yeah. He's like, okay, take that out. He's like, how much money did I save just by taking out the foam? And they're just like, well, like a couple cents. He's like, okay, how can we save money? Like, he's like, does it have a little sleeve on the cup? And they're like, yeah. He's like, take that off. Whatever that to save money, just take that off. And then, and at the end of the thing, he ended up just getting hot water. He's like, I just want something to warm me up. He's like, how much is hot water? And they're like, free. He's like, that one. I want that one. It's hilarious, man. But yeah, Starbucks is pretty expensive. It is pretty damn expensive. So I know you asked me earlier. What's the topic? I don't know if you saw the title. Beyond the crypto.
We're doing this?
we're doing this. So last episode we talked, we did our What the Hell episode. If you guys missed it, make sure you guys do check it out. Getting some feedback there, and yeah, we're on there replying on comments, so make sure you guys do drop us a comment. Make sure you guys do drop us a comment. Also, if you haven't subscribed to BS Clips, check it out. BS Clips dropped a video. It's back. The channel is back up. Again, leave us some comments. Leave us a message. Thumbs up. Make sure you guys are subscribed. Share the channel. And lastly, before we dive into this episode, check the description below. We got Buzz TV. We got VPNs. We got all types of stuff in the description below. Best way to support us is by doing that. So, and we're going to have some more stuff coming for you guys. So stay tuned. Crypto, man. Crypto. Okay. This is how I'm going to start it. You and me had a conversation a year ago. And it was literally about Bitcoin hitting 100K.
Right.
I think you and me were on this train, like literally up, like I think I jumped off the train December 1st of 2021. And you were still like, I don't know. He's like, it might go back up to 70 or 80. Like, you know, we were still kind of like, oh, I don't know. Ethereum, I was on this, like this thing's going to hit 10K. Like this thing's going to hit 10K. Something happened. I think it was November, where there was a huge dip within Bitcoin, Ethereum, and virtually all the altcoins, as people call them, all the cryptocurrencies. There was just this massive dip, and there's a what happened,
man. I'm trying to remember now, but wasn't there, they were being banned in certain places, and there was certain regulations that was coming up. Is that what you're talking about? Was there, it was India and China?
Well, we know China did their thing, or has been doing their thing, and we know India has been doing their thing. I know the US announced something that, well, there's several YouTubers out there that says crypto is going to get you in jail. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, crypto, from what I saw, was, didn't Bitcoin, like, it pretty much, like, it was kissing 70,000. It was like,
yeah, there was a point when it was, yeah, for sure.
It was, I think it was like $69,998 or something stupid. It was like it's about to go down. Like, it just, and you know what, I think Ethereum was over 5K.
Yeah, that was going into the second week in November.
Yes. I was, as soon as I saw Bitcoin climbing, because it started to, like, the bull run was about to start. And I know people were already saying, like, we're in a bull run. And I'm like, if it hits 70,000 and if it tests it and stays there, okay, we're in a bull run. Like, prepare yourselves. And I too thought, like, okay, it's this is happening. It's what we were predicting. It's happening. And of course, what was that? yeah, once it was hitting like the high 60s, I was expecting Ethereum to start climbing also. And it did climb, but not as fast as it was almost like, it's kind of weird. Like, Ethereum was kind of like watching what Bitcoin was doing before they did anything.
Well, that's how it's always been, right? Because Bitcoin has, they call it the Bitcoin dominance or crypto dominance, right? So Bitcoin was typically more than 50% forever. And now I think it's down to 40%. So what that means is that, you know, the market cap of Bitcoin is dominating the rest of the whole of the crypto market.
Mm-hmm.
But there's reasons for that, right? And it's going down. It's continuously going down. But like we've mentioned on other podcasts, in order to get into certain coins, you have to get into like Bitcoin or Ethereum first and then transfer it over to another exchange. And that's kind of your gateway drug into cryptocurrency is usually Bitcoin or Ethereum. And typically it's Bitcoin.
Right. It's typically Bitcoin. Ethereum is, you know, we've said this before where Ethereum is kind of doing their own thing. Like
they're trying to, but they're still pulled by Bitcoin. Bitcoin will start to move and Ethereum will go. Now there is a slight difference. You could get bigger gains in Ethereum for sure, right? But for the most part, when Bitcoin moves, Ethereum moves, and when Ethereum moves, everything moves.
The way I see Ethereum, because I do agree with you. I do agree that when Bitcoin moves, everybody moves. It's kind of like, and this is not to offend anybody out there.
Everybody.
I'm probably going to offend everybody, but it's kind of like, imagine there's like 10 people inside of a tight elevator. And there's a guy right in the middle that's, and you know what? I'll say this. He's buff. He's very big. He's buff guy. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he's a big buff guy. If he decides to lean to the left, everybody on that side is going to move. If he decides to go like this in a circle, everybody's going to be feeling it. You know what I mean? Bitcoin's kind of like that. I will say this though. I've been following this. I know you've been looking at cryptos a lot lately. Bitcoin's not pushing Ethereum as much as people think.
Yes. There's a lot of other factors now for sure.
You know, Ethereum is like, I'll say this. When Bitcoin dipped, and I know these numbers are very, like, you can't compare these two numbers because the volume, the market cap between the two are there's a big number difference.
For sure.
But the percentages don't lie though. When Bitcoin went from, and I'm just going to say 70,000 all the way down to 45,000. Right now it's at 45. That's a huge percentage. That's a pretty good percentage, you know, a very good percentage. When Ethereum was about 5,000 and it dropped down, right now it's at 3,800. It's 3,780 some. You lost some money, but the loss wasn't as big as Bitcoin. And I think it's like a global trend. Like when your Bitcoin and Ethereum start dropping, everybody drops because they're just like, holy crap, what's going on? People get scared. What is that, FUD?
Yeah, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That's right.
Yeah. So they start getting a little bit scared.
So this is the Bitcoin dominance chart over the last year. So you can see it's consistently going down. A year ago, 70% or 71% of the total crypto market was dominated by Bitcoin. And over the last year,
Say that one more time.
The whole crypto market was dominated by Bitcoin a year ago by 70%.
And that means majority of the money is in Bitcoin.
Is in Bitcoin, that's right.
Got it.
And over the last year, you're seeing that it's significantly been dropping. And now we're down to 39.42%, meaning that it doesn't have such a significant pull factor when it comes to crypto across the board. I mean, 40% is still very big when we're considering we have thousands of coins and Bitcoin is one with 40% of the market cap. Like, that's huge still.
Yeah.
But check not Ethereum. As big as 70%.
Right. Check Ethereum.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the numbers between Bitcoin and Ethereum, and they both have the biggest numbers. And I was actually about to say that too, that the same thing that you're saying, that Bitcoin has lost a lot of their dominance over the entire cryptocurrency, but Ethereum is not that far behind. Like they're slowly catching up. And I think you and me both have said it, in time, Ethereum could possibly flip Bitcoin.
Well, I think there's a lot of interesting factors that's going to happen over the next 5 to 10 years for sure. So in the last chart that I showed, it showed that Bitcoin had a dominance of 39% and Ethereum now has a dominance of 20%. Now, the highest it's been, I believe, is here at the 22% mark, which is...
And that's right now.
Pretty much right now. Actually, no, the highest is over here. What is this?
That was 25%.
No, this was a long time ago. This is, we're talking about 2017. But 2017, okay, there wasn't a lot of other cryptos around.
Yeah, that don't count really.
That doesn't really count. You know what I mean? Because back then, Bitcoin was literally the other 75%, right?
Now, what's interesting, yeah, exactly. What's interesting about this chart is when you know, for those people that are listening, the Bitcoin chart showed a decline for the year. It showed a massive decline, and you know, that's what we're saying, that it's in the mid to high 30s. For the last year, put 1 year instead of the 5 year mark. For the year for Ethereum, even though Ethereum has lost some traction, and I say that very loosely, 5,000, the price marked to the very highs, 3,000 right now, 3,700. The point of this is that people are holding, a lot of people are holding on this. They're not pulling out. And these numbers here are going up.
Yeah, and they're going to continuously go up because people are locking in with staking for Ethereum 2.0. And they can't touch that. Like, even if they wanted to get their money back, they can't until Ethereum 2.0 is released.
And I think that's going to be in June that they announced.
That's what they're saying, but the people that are in the mining field don't even believe that. We're thinking the end of this year, going into next year, because they've been talking about moving into Ethereum 2.0 and this change for a long time now. And every time they release a date, they extend it. Like, one of the updates that came out to the Ethereum network recently was just to push back when the change happens. Like, that was actually a code that had to be released. It was called some kind of bomb. Oh man, I gotta find the name of it now.
The bomb.com. And you know what? I'm okay to continue the stake. Now, if people don't know,
it's a difficulty bomb. That's what they called it.
So right now they're switching from mining to staking. The stake is, you're pretty much moving it into, it's called Ethereum 2.0 that you transfer it over, and it sits there. It's kind of like, almost like a CD, like, you know, like for your bank savings account, they have these things called CDs that you could put money in there and you can't touch it until it expires.
Oh, we call them GICs on this side.
There you go. So it's kind of like that. I don't know what they call it for our people in the UK or anywhere else in the world. But it's pretty much, it's similar to a savings that you put in and you can't touch it. And what they do is the banks do whatever they need to do with the money, but you get a very high interest rate back because they're essentially borrowing your money. So you're getting an interest off of that. With Ethereum 2.0, when you stake it, they're doing something very similar where you're getting a percentage for you to just hold your money right there. I've already had a couple payouts and I'm just like, sweet. And I'm just letting it roll and compound and just keep doing your thing. You know, there's a lot of people saying that there's a good possibility. And I'm hearing two sides of the coin on this, and they're both being very aggressive, or as a lot of people call it, bullish, being bulls. They're saying that if Bitcoin by February, and Q1. Yeah, they're saying if Bitcoin, and I'm hearing two sides of this, so it's really hard to say which side to really lean on, because it's almost like split down the middle on what people are saying, like a flip of a coin. People are saying if it holds by the end of the year, Ethereum, and it's funny how they're not even talking about Bitcoin, but they're saying if Bitcoin holds its current mark, Ethereum is going to flip Bitcoin. It's going to be about 100,000. And Bitcoin's also going to climb up. It's going to be like the two big dogs pretty much duking it out now. But they're both going to be pretty close to each other. With Bitcoin, if it cannot hold, this is the other side of the coin. If it cannot hold its current position and it continues to back down, or as people call it, you know, it's being bearish. If it's slowly declining still, all the coins are going to slowly decline. And predictions are even saying if this happens by then, if we're under 40,000 by then, expect Bitcoin by the end of the year to be somewhere, or maybe not end of the year, but sometime during the year, expect it to drop down as low as 20K. Expect Ethereum to be as low as 800 or 900 bucks. The other thing, which everybody's agreeing on, both sides of the coin, they're saying if this happens, that it does dip, we're going to be sitting there for probably a couple years. Maybe like 2 years, 3 years. And it's going to happen like what happened in March of 2020, where it just kaboom and exploded all the way up. And if that happens, they're saying, it's funny because everybody keeps saying the same thing, that Ethereum, not only is it going to blow up with Bitcoin, but it's going to blow up much faster than Bitcoin. So I don't know if it will flip it. I don't know if it's going to get pretty close of flipping it. Ethereum is due for a boom, though, a big one. And it's been kind of like, you know, like a year ago, it was sitting around 800, 900 bucks, just kind of like chilling. And then it went up to like 2000, 3000, 4000. Then it was kind of chilling. And then a little bit up close to 5000. Then it dipped right down to 4000. And it's chilling. They haven't had what we've seen with Bitcoin, where Bitcoin was like, here's 19,000, 13,000, 10,000, 9,000, 30,000. You know, it's like, holy crap. Ethereum hasn't had that yet. So is it possible? I think it's possible. Can it happen? I don't know.
I think there's so many factors, right? Like there's so many factors when it comes to crypto prices, crypto dominance, and then everything outside of crypto that actually affects crypto, right? Like we have just finished 2021 and we are going into 2021's tax season. Right. Also, we have things like the inflation numbers that were released. All those kind of things do affect investments. Right. When people have to start reporting their incomes and their losses, that's when they start to pull out some of their investments. They claim some of their profits. They claim some of their losses and things come down. Right. We were looking at a total cryptocurrency market cap of somewhere around $2 trillion. And with a trillion of that being Bitcoin. Bitcoin's now at 867 million. So it's not even at $1 trillion anymore. But yeah, we're still sitting with Ethereum at $450 million, which is still very high. And I think on a previous podcast, I talked about how I think more than half of that is actually locked up in things like staking and projects, right? So
yeah,
there's a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of parts that aren't moving that create some kind of stability. And when we look at things like charts, when we're talking about stocks and crypto, when we're charting things, we're always looking for things that are called like higher highs and lower lows when we're looking at the trends. And I think that, yes, we could go lower. And even if we go lower for a longer period of time, which I don't think is going to happen. I really don't. I think that the speed of crypto has gotten a lot faster than it did in previous cycles. I think that there's more people that are invested. There's also a lot more wallets that are on the blockchain. And there's it's more, it's easier than ever before to buy crypto. It used to be very difficult. Like when we first heard about Bitcoin, majority of us was like, that sounds cool, but how do I buy it? And we had no idea. We didn't know how to do it. Now it's as easy as downloading an app and literally just purchase. Like I can send an email transfer from my bank account and purchase Bitcoin if I want to. It's super easy. So I think that it is possible that we can see a dip. There are support levels that that it has to retest. And if it breaks those support levels on the way down, then we do go lower. For instance, the bigger one right now that we have to retest, if we are going to, for Bitcoin, is around 42,000. If we break that 42,000, then we are going to be going into somewhere between 36,000, I believe, but I'd have to look at the charts again. But there are levels that we have to break as we go down when we're looking at the charts. But do I think it's going to be years for it to come back up if it does break those levels? I don't think so. And even if we do go down for a set period of time, I'm not really scared. Like when I talk about investments to people in general, and I'm like, remember when our parents were getting into investing, they had to go into a bank, a physical bank. And the banker had to set up these investments for them. And then once they set it up, they never looked at it until they retired. And I'm trying to keep that same mentality with cryptocurrency. You imagine if you bought Bitcoin and never looked at it until you retired. Like it doesn't matter what it does this year. It doesn't matter what it does next year. It really doesn't. If you would have bought Bitcoin 11 years ago, it was worth less than a dollar. Yeah, it's done a whole bunch of crazy shit since then, but it's never dropped under a dollar. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I actually have on one of my accounts, I treat Bitcoin and Ethereum as savings accounts. And I do daily buys. I don't care what the price is. I buy a few dollars every day and I set it aside. I don't look at it. I don't care. I don't touch it. And I also use my Bitcoin prepaid Visa card. Get a couple of rewards, a few pennies a day, and I don't touch that. I treat it like a savings account. I don't care if it goes down. I have, you know, Cyclone watches our podcast, right? And he messaged me. He's like, what did you do? I blame you every time Bitcoin and Ethereum goes down. I was like, dude, I needed a sale. I had 16 limit buys that went through as it dropped. And I'm like, I needed to pick up some more.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, there's a lot of money out there. There is a lot of money out there. We talked about on the podcast when Apple hit $2 trillion market cap. That was huge, right? And then they dropped down significantly and Microsoft passed them. But Apple just hit $3 trillion and then they dropped down again. So money moves in very interesting ways, right? There's a lot of money out there to be grabbed. When we look at things like gold, for instance, right? I ask people, I'm like, what is easier to buy? Gold or Bitcoin?
Gold.
Yeah, I think it's Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. A few years ago, you would hear people say all the time, oh, I'm buying gold. You ask the average person if they know how to buy gold, and they're going to be like, I have no idea how to buy gold, but I can tell you how to buy Bitcoin. Right.
I could see that. For me, I would say gold is, well, okay. So I think you need to clarify what you mean with gold. Are you meaning going to the jewelry store to buy gold? Are you talking about
getting gold as an investment? As an investment, gold. not gold to put in your safe at like home, like
people, okay, because that's where my mind went instantly was gold's easy to get because I could just go to the jewelry store and buy a whole buttload of it. So you're talking about like a stock.
Well, not necessarily a stock, but like they sell.
Or like a brick.
Well, the brick too, but the banks, they sell like a representation, like a paper representation of the actual gold itself. Mm. Right. And I think that as we move more into the digital world, more and more people are going to be investing in cryptocurrency versus investing in precious metals. Now, gold has consistently been called, you know, a holder of wealth, or like a, you know what I mean? It's been, people have been investing in it to hold their wealth, and it's consistently gone up, but it hasn't had the same gains as cryptocurrency, right? And we're looking at gold with a market cap of over $12 trillion. You imagine if the difference between the crypto market cap and the gold market cap flipped. And we went from a $2 trillion market cap with cryptocurrency to a $10 trillion market cap. And gold was now at $2 trillion. We're talking about 5X.
I think gold, if that were to happen, I think gold might start losing its value.
And yes, of course, if they start losing the market cap of what it is, then it would lose money. But I just think that there's so much better use when it comes to cryptocurrency than, you know, some of the precious metals. Now, of course, there are some good uses for precious metals when it comes to like a manufacturing standpoint, but mm-hmm. we're always innovating when it comes to manufacturing. How do we change that up? What does that look like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like there's so much money in the next 5 to 10 years in different markets that is on the verge of moving.
Yeah. I am. Now, I wanted to throw this out at you. So we know NFTs are blowing up big time. Eminem purchased an NFT.
Like the chocolate or the rapper?
The rapper. The chicka chicka chicka.
Okay. All right.
Slim Shady.
Spaghetti.
The spaghetti. He bought a Lazy Monkey NFT JPEG, and I think he spent $500,000.
That's nothing.
On a JPEG. I gotta pull this one up. Eminem. I saw this. Okay, yeah. So this just happened just a few hours ago. What the heck? Okay, so it's $462,000. And you know what he did with it? Ready for this one? Here's his Twitter. And he posted it up right as his image.
Yeah.
That's his Lazy Monkey. And he spent, where is the thing here? $462,000.
It's crazy. And that NFT is always going to hold a lot of value to it, because on the blockchain, you can verify that it was owned by Marshall Mathers. So he'll always be able to sell it for a decent chunk of money, because it comes with his legacy as well, that he owned it.
Mm-hmm. Look, here says this guy who made the JPEG says, "I'm living in a simulation. Thank you at Eminem for buying my ape and joining the club. Madness. Let me write a lyric in your next single." Laughing. Smiley face. And it's funny too with Eminem's thing here, you know, you see the thing. It's very interesting where we're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Eminem is and it's not just Eminem. There was a club for New Year's Eve that purchased another Lazy Monkey also to be their theme, their mascot theme for NYE. And it was another Lazy Monkey also. And it was, I think there was, it was either Miami or it was LA that spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind blowing how like the value behind this stuff, you know, like when you think about it, when you think of the principle behind it, you're getting a one of a kind JPEG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let that sink in. It's a picture. You're purchasing a picture. It's a one of a kind. There's no duplicates. You know, imagine like I take a picture of myself in this very moment and I turn it into a cartoon and I'm like, cool, I'm gonna create this as a JPEG, put it on the blockchain. This is a one of a kind. And somebody's like, dude, I want that. Here's $500,000. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah, but I think if you are in a certain limelight in 2022 and you're not getting into NFTs, then you're missing out on something. Because your popularity is almost like your financial value to what you create now because of the blockchain. Doesn't matter what you could create. You could draw a stick figure. But if you are somebody that has, you know, a billion followers, then that still stick figure could be worth millions. It doesn't even matter what it is.
It's just, it's crazy. It's really, you know, it's insane. It's my buddy. Actually, you know what? We had him on our show, Carl Drumtech. Remember him?
Yeah.
We need to bring him in because he's been looking into crypto big time. And he posted on Facebook that said, back when we were kids and video games were out, everybody said, this is just a fad. It's going to come and go.
Well, it's one of the biggest markets in the world now.
It's one of the biggest markets. It's crazy because
I tell everybody, you know, like by the time we understand NFTs, it's too late.
Yep.
Like no one's like, even some of the smartest people that I follow on YouTube will still say, I have no idea. Like,
it's like, I don't know. I just bought it. It is. It's absolutely insane with what's happening. And it's one of those things, just like computers. It's funny because back in the day, computers, not that many, like if you had a computer in your house, you were rich. You were
technically, yes.
You were rich. Like now, who doesn't own some sort of computer? Who doesn't have a cell phone in their pocket? Remember back in the day, if you had a pager, you were considered
you were a doctor, bro.
Like, remember you used to be like, oh, let me page him 07734. What does that say?
Hello.
Hello. You flip it upside down. Hello. And that's it. And then you're just like, wait, who sent me this? And or like it was one of those things that pagers were just like one of the dumbest things. You're just like, oh, I got a page. I got to find a payphone. It's like, but that turned into like texting. Smartphones came out and people like, I remember when Android and like, and as much, I'm sorry, I have to retract that. I remember when iPhone came out because Android came out after. And as much as I don't like iPhone, I wanted one so bad, but it was so expensive. I was just like, I cannot do this. I'm gonna stick with my flip, my Palm Pilot. Remember that?
Yeah.
But we are currently in an era. We're in a digital era right now. And crypto is here that will take care of our currencies. NFTs are here that will create an image for us on the web. Gaming is being built at this moment, and gaming is, it's taking its, I don't want to say it's taking its time, but there's a lot of moving parts with gaming, and the way gaming works right now, the companies are in control. And of course they're trying to decentralize everything. But gaming is being built, and you're going to have access to actually trading avatars or characters or all kinds of stuff like on different platforms. They're building a freaking virtual world that you could purchase land.
People are already purchasing land.
Right. Like, I don't know what's next after this. I don't know what is next that they're going to try to decentralize. Like if you guys haven't seen the movie Ready Player One, you need to watch that because it's it's scary how we're slowly getting into that environment. And I don't like right now, we're definitely living in some kind of digital era that's completely taken over. And you know what? The only thing I could imagine after this is freaking space, like actually making that happen. Like they're already traveling to Mars. I don't know if you heard about that. They're already going to Mars. It's like, dude, why? You're going to bring aliens back.
Well, Elon's got to go to his home planet, right?
No kidding.
So I do believe that space is the next biggest boom after all this. But I love how Elon puts this. He says that we are already cybernetic organisms, right? He said, you know, we have smart devices like watches and phones and smart assistants. He says what we have is actually a bandwidth problem. We can't communicate fast enough with all of the information, but we always have some kind of smart tech with us, on us, around us, something. So if we can solve the bandwidth problem, then that's when we advance in our cybernetic evolution, right? And he said that it was one of the most interesting transitions when we moved from a full keyboard to just using two thumbs. So our bandwidth went down because we stopped using 10 fingers and we started using two thumbs. So now he's like, how do we increase the bandwidth problem? How do we get access to the unlimited information that is stored on the internet and have it readily available in our brain? Sounds scary, but we are going that route. And it all starts with metaverse. Like, it really does. Like, think about it, right? If you put yourself into a virtual reality world where your input and your interactions are no longer just two thumbs, you're able to understand and interact with the information at a much faster rate, almost like you're in the real world, like you're communicating within the real world. That's where we're going.
It's funny that you said the metaverse, because I've been looking into Meta, AKA formerly known as Facebook. They have these cameras that are coming that are going to project people. And it's kind of like, you know, I think most of us have watched The Avengers. By the way, I'm still not happy that you haven't seen Spider-Man.
It's still a cam, though.
Just go to the freaking drive-thru.
I can't. They shut everything down.
Drive-in's closed, too?
I'm pretty sure.
Damn it. So, Facebook is working on okay, so you know Avengers? Remember how they're having a meeting and there is like one person standing right there, and then there's like these holographic people, and there's like all the different, it's like four or five different characters in the room, but like four of them are holographic. It's like a video image coming up, and they look like they're right in front of you.
Yeah.
Facebook is working on that. Facebook is working on their Meta to be able to connect. They did a commercial on what is coming from Meta, and it shows Zuckerberg where he's like floating into like different parts of the world, visiting different parts of the world, like he's just doing like all kinds of crazy stuff and talking to different people from across the world. They're okay, so Oculus, and I know we've talked to Rendezvous, if for those of you guys who don't know, Rendezvous came up with this brilliant idea. Just like a VR, well, it's not just like a, it's a VR headset that puts somebody into Hawaii, Japan, Australia, wherever they want to go. They could go and they're there. We have games like Oculus, PlayStation VR, that you could play actual games in this virtual simulation. Zuckerberg wants to take that off. Doesn't want this big old thing. Still wants, obviously, Oculus because that's for the gaming stuff, but he wants to take that off and create some kind of camera that projects a 3D image. Like you and me right now having this conversation, we could have this where it looks and seems and maybe even possibly feels like we're in the same room.
Right. And you can have more of a natural conversation because even though it very much so feels like we're having a natural conversation right now, we still need to look at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can't be like, you know, walking around my room and have a conversation with you because you're going to see the back of my head or, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't work that way yet.
Yet. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, like most of you guys know, Next Level and I live in two different countries. Well, actually I should say two different states. Next Level is the 54th state of America. So it's a little, it's interesting how we've been able to communicate, how we've been able to meet, how we've been able to work together and build a bond, and all from a little camera. Literally, that's what it is. It's a little camera. We're looking at our computer screen, and this is how we know each other. And it's crazy because I feel like I've known you for a long time.
Wait, it's been, I guess, in content creator years, a long time. This is going on to the third or fourth year that we've been interacting, right? We've done Beyond the Streams for 2 years now. And besides that, we were doing live shows on our own. And that, we were doing live shows on other people's channels. So in content creation world, that's a long time.
Yeah. No, for sure. I am interested in how they're going to do this in the future. Like with this, like you said, like imagine being in your room and you're just like, oh, look, you know, follow me over here to this.
Yeah.
And I'm able to like just look at you and see your room and see whatever you want to show me. You know, it's right. Pretty neat on what they're wanting to accomplish. And it's interesting how movies are presenting these ideas. So well, 10 years from now, it won't be so far-fetched.
We need things like, you know, sci-fi movies and TV shows, things like, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek, because it presents possibility. It presents the ideas of where technology and society and advancements can go, right? Yeah, teleportation is a good idea. Are we really going to do that? Probably not in this lifetime, I don't think. But I do think that the idea of being able to teleport into a reality is very possible, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could create your digital house, your virtual house, and I could teleport myself into that. For a lack of a better term, it would be me teleporting there because it's my representation, right? But a physical teleportation, I don't think it's going to happen in this lifetime.
Yeah, not in our lifetime. So where do you see crypto right now, man? Like, I know there's a lot of things that are going, and I know last time when we were our last episode, you were just like, oh, there's so much stuff I want to share. Like, are you guys ready? Are you ready? What do we need to buckle up on?
So not about coins in particular, but I'm seeing a lot of changes when it comes to mining in general, right? And the thing is that it's becoming so popular that I'm seeing transitions that are starting to fade out people that can't keep up. Difficulty levels for coins, even speculative coins, have gone up so significantly that if you aren't willing to continuously invest and upgrade your farm, your mining farm, don't do it. Like it's becoming very difficult. Like if I was mining Ethereum with the same power that I'm mining Ethereum now, 2 years ago, I'd be making four times as much. Which is crazy to think about, right? Like some of the coins that I started mining recently, CKB Library, and I'm starting to mine Starcoin, I think next week or in 2 weeks. But Library and CKB, I'm not mining as many coins anymore because there's more equipment on the market. There's more people mining it, which is good and bad. It means that it's becoming more and more popular and it's getting, you know, obviously more marketing. More people are looking into coins like this, but it's difficult because I'm not mining as many coins as I want to anymore, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking at some of the transitions that happened this year, especially with China, where China lost the ability to mine cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, for instance, and they had to get rid of all of their machines. Do you know, I think in the last week or two, that we are right back up to the same difficulty level of mining Bitcoin without China doing any of it anymore?
I didn't know that.
So we just hit the exact same levels again. So if people want to say, oh, cryptocurrency is going away, no, it actually became more decentralized. So China said, you're not allowed to mine anymore. We did a significant drop in the mining power, and now it got dispersed amongst the whole world, and we're back at the point where we're going above and beyond the production level of mining from when China was doing it. And China's a big population. They were doing a lot of crypto mining, but we're seeing companies like Marathon Digital, like Bitfarms, who are mining ridiculous amounts of over 3,500 Bitcoins a year. Like, that's a ridiculous amount.
That's so crazy.
But, you know, the reason they're able to do these things is because they're treating it like a business. They're constantly getting investors. They're constantly getting money. And they're reinvesting into their mining power, which in turn, because they're investing hundreds and millions of dollars, makes it more difficult on the network for the average person to come in with $1,000 and say, I'm going to mine a Bitcoin. Uh-huh. So that's where I'm changing the mentality on mining in general. I'm looking at some of the more speculative coins that are kind of newer, seeing how I can mine some of those. Because when a coin first comes out and you first start to mine it, you have access to a lot more of those coins. So my kind of mentality now is to see if I can grab some more of the speculative mining hardware and then mine some of it before it gets too difficult to mine.
Yep.
And even if I'm only making a few pennies today, maybe those coins are going to be worth a lot more later on down the road. That's kind of where I'm at in my mining journey. I've kind of stopped adding to my Ethereum farm because, as you know, Ethereum is speculating that it's going to be mid this year, that they're going to stop the mining. A lot of the people in the mining community are saying at the end of the year, but irregardless, it's coming. Now, I'm not adding to it, but I'm not getting rid of anything I have because there's also a lot of other good coins to mine, like Ergo and Flux. And there's so many other coins you can mine with graphics cards. At the end of the day, my graphics cards will always be worth money. They'll always be worth money. So I'm happy to have them. So I'll keep those running for as long as I have, but I will be moving into ASIC mining. And so I haven't really mentioned this, but I've been trying to play with this in my head for so long. I have. Hold on. Bark, 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 bark. Oh my goodness.
Throw him a chicken wing. Chicken wing, chicken wing. Hot dog and bologna. Dogs are going crazy in Next Level's place. Well, that's awesome.
Okay. I've had actually a couple people approach me that want to invest. And I'm not talking about they want to invest in crypto. They want to invest in me, in building a crypto mining farm. And I've been telling these people for the last year, no. Because I have a really hard time taking money from people. Especially if I got to pay it back, you know?
Like, I got to pay it back? No!
Yeah, right? Like, that puts a lot of pressure. Like, you know, someone's going to throw you, you know, even if it was $5,000, that's putting a bet on you and what you're able to produce. And, you know, there's a lot of risk factors when it comes to, you don't know what the market's going to do. You don't know there's a lot of unknowns. But what I've been starting to realize lately is that as much of the unknowns as there has been, I've been, since I've in this game, been net positive. I've made money. And you need money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You need money to make money. And the richest people in the world got there by using other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to take a risk.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I gotta see what that's gonna look like. There's some spreadsheets I gotta work on. I've actually upgraded some of my hardware so that I can start getting back into some kind of productivity mode, because there's a lot of things that I need to focus on going into the new year, and I'm building my whole world around crypto.
I got the whole world.
There's, man, how do I, hold on. Okay, so if I was to tell people to look into some speculative coins, some of the ones that are a little bit more famous is ones like Kadena. Kadena started off really low and blew up, and some people are trying to sell some of their crypto mining hardware for over $80,000.
Man,
it's insane. When it first came out, it wasn't worth that much. You know what I mean? But because the coin has done so significant, now the hardware is worth that, right? So what I'm looking at is like looking at some of these newer ASIC miners, what coins are they mining? And if they're cheap, relatively cheap now, what could it be worth later on down the road? So Kadena's, I'm using Kadena as an example, because nobody who bought Kadena could have possibly thought it did what it did. You know, like there's a Kadena miner that's coming out right now that's literally doing $235 a day, US.
Jeez.
Like that's
is insane. That the name of the coin? Kadena?
Kadena is the name of the coin. That machine comes out in April of this year. And I don't even
so, I think
the price of it is around 28,000, but it's hard to get. So people just buy it and they resell it for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000.
Wow. So this is something that we could definitely talk into. So what are your favorite cryptocurrencies that could blow up? So you mentioned like Kadena, like something that you didn't really see coming. But if you were to have to give us, I don't know. You know what? I won't even put a number on it. I won't say top five, top 10. I would just say, what are you most excited about that could possibly blow up maybe this year?
It's really difficult to say because I'm not too far into researching a wide variety of coins. Like right now, I'm just looking at, can I get an ASIC miner for a decent price? And that's what I'm purchasing into. So the one that I've really looked into lately is CKB, and that's the Nervos network. I like what they're doing. I'm hoping that they blow up. I am getting invested in that one. I don't have a whole lot because I just have two little boxes that are mining CKB. But the idea behind CKB is to bridge blockchains together, to make projects communicate, let's say, between Cosmos and Ethereum. So you could build a project on one, but it communicate across all blockchains. And it's building the capability of doing that. And I think that's really cool, right? Another one is Starcoin. I don't know a whole lot about it, but there's some boxes. I actually just got my first box of Starcoin, so I'm starting to mine that one, hoping that it does something to it. Library is an interesting coin that I started mining. Library is supporting a website called Odyssey.com. Odyssey.com is like a YouTube on the blockchain, and the idea behind it I really like, because essentially it's decentralized YouTube where your next door neighbor could be the server. And if you're outside of a first world country, if you're outside of North America or some places in the UK, let's say, it can be difficult to get access to 4K at a decent speed because the servers for YouTube are in a centralized area, right? So the further you are away from those servers, could be the more difficult it is to stream something that's in 4K. So having something that's decentralized makes a lot of sense. And, you know, there's two options that you're looking at. You're looking at Theta, which we talked about in a previous episode, and you're talking about Library. So those two sounds pretty cool. I don't think you're going to hear a lot about Theta or Library until we're deeper down the road, getting closer to a metaverse. So these are all speculations, right? You never know when these coins are going to hit or when someone's going to pull the adoption of it, right? So those are coins, CKB, Library, Theta. Obviously, I'm still getting some Ethereum. And I've started grabbing Bitcoin. As much as I never used to grab Bitcoin before, I'm using it like a savings account. So I am grabbing Bitcoin now. I'm buying it every day. Not a lot, but a little bit. Just trying to use it as a savings account. Aside from that, if I could grab some more things like Sandbox, Avalanche. Oh man, there's so many coins that are actually related to the metaverse that it's insane. Actually insane. Because we're seeing companies now like Ubisoft, like Roblox, like so many other companies getting involved in cryptocurrency. It's almost like, which cryptocurrency do you have a partnership with and what coin do I need to buy? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would have to do more research in regards to what could be the next coins when it comes down the road to a metaverse and how is it going to be implemented with some of the companies? Because then that's when we see companies like Apple with $3 trillion in a market cap, some of the transition of wealth. Because there's $3 trillion sitting invested in a company, and the company is going to start, let's say, hypothetically, a company could start working with a coin, and then some of that market cap is shared with a coin. Do you really need $3 trillion to be invested into a coin for it to start to boom? No, you don't. Mm-mm. Ethereum's only $450,000. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? 100 million. Hold on. You know, I want to see. What is the... There we go. Let's see. I'm going to pull this up real quick.
452 billion.
Is it billion? Okay. Yeah. But in order to be a top 100 cryptocurrency, it costs less than $1 billion. I know I'm sound less than a billion, like it's nothing, but it comes to, you know, a lot of the money that's invested into, you know, stocks and crypto, $1 billion isn't a lot of money. Shit. Elon Musk has 300 of them.
Freaking Musk. So some of the ones that I like, I like Theta. I think if they do everything that they say they're going to do, you know, like decentralize YouTube.
Yeah.
I think that will be huge for a lot of content creators. I think it could open up a lot of doors where if you wanted to use copyright songs, that you could just easily go on their platform. If there is a decentralized song in there, then you could say, hey, I want to get permission. It costs this much. Boom, there it is. You're done. I think there's easier ways of doing it. And I think Theta, I like Theta. I believe in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. There's this other one that I know I've kind of freaked out a little bit, but I'm just like, I just gotta wait. I gotta wait. Chill.
Just chill. Just yeah. Chill.
Just chill. Chill was climbing up not that long ago. It hit like $1.40 and or $1.50. Now it's sitting about 50 something cents. And I'm like, holy crap, this thing dipped. It's been going on a roller coaster, but I think that's normal, especially how new it is. I'm just surprised it came out. I think it was like when it finally settled down, like after like 24 hours, it was about 80 cents. And I'm like, this is crazy because Shill is working on bridging a gaming platform. Mm-hmm. And they have big name guys in there, PlayStation, Microsoft, Nintendo, like these guys who help create games for these gaming platforms. They're there. So they have a good team. So I like what they're doing. Again, it's like the unknown. You don't know what Theta's going to do or Shill's going to do. Every time we talk about NFTs, Ethereum is the big one. Ethereum is the one that a lot of us talk about. And we're starting to hear more about Solana.
We're starting to hear about Cardano. Mm-hmm. What's the other one?
There's a bunch of them. There's Ethereum, Solana, Cardano. I think even, Cosmos. Cosmos has them too.
Cosmos, yeah.
Matic or Polygon.
Yep. I do like, I'm looking at my portfolio here. I do like them. I want to see more of a bridge between all of these different platforms to get NFTs. These NFT platforms are there's not many right now, like big ones, like big name ones that you're just like, okay, I trust this platform to get on. And I think it's going to be interesting as it continues to build. So I like all of those. I'm still very surprised crypto.com is so, it's only worth 55 cents right now.
Yeah. I messaged one of my boys yesterday and I was like, it's a buy under 50 cents. It potentially could drop to 32 cents, but anything under 50 cents, I say crypto.com is a buy. Yeah. There's actually, their CEO was in the news recently. I seen something. What was it on? Hold on a second. I'll find the article right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I do like those. I do like, I know as much as you don't like those meme coins, but I do like SHIB.
And there was SHIB, a bunch of information that they burned a bunch of coins recently.
Yeah. SHIB has a really interesting roadmap. They're actually like putting a lot of stuff together. It's not just a meme anymore. They're actually like working. I know we've heard about Saitama, SATA. Mm-hmm. If they could, like, they're working on getting like pharmaceuticals involved. Like, there's a lot of stuff that Saitama is planning of doing, and as little as it's worth right now, I'm still kind of surprised like how little it's worth. I just wish that the only thing that scares me though is they were going through not some lawsuits, but some people saying like they're using images that are owned by other people. So like they're, if you look at Saitama, they have this little guy, a little boy with like a wolf hoodie over him, and it's supposed to be a what is it, like a Japanese what is it called, like Dragon Ball Z
anime.
Yeah, it's like an anime character, and I don't know if they're going through, if they went through a lawsuit or if they're going through.
Wasn't that One Punch Man?
I think so.
I think it was One Punch Man. I could be wrong, but I thought it was One Punch Man.
It's something. So I they've had a lot of good and questionable limelight situations, you know. So, but I do like what they're doing. I just kind of wish they would just clean a lot of their stuff up, whatever they're trying to go through, and then just be like, boom, okay, here, let's just focus on what we're meant to do. So yeah, those are the ones that I like. And again, I like, oh, what's that one? Suzuki. And that ended up being a rug pull. I think there's all kinds of different things that could have happened, but whatever, it is what it is. Yeah. But just be careful.
We have a birthday announcement as well.
What?
Yeah, there's a birthday announcement. So January 3rd marks the birthday, the 13th birthday of Bitcoin.
No kidding.
Right. So here, I'll share my screen real quick. There was actually a message on the blockchain. Oh, I need to move my screen over. There we go. So it says January 3rd. I think that says
Chancellor.
Chancellor on brink of second bailout for Banksy.
What? Oh, man.
Oh man. But yeah, it was Bitcoin's 13th birthday on January 3rd. So happy birthday, Bitcoin.
happy birthday. Happy birthday, Bitcoin. Why aren't you worth more than right now, damn it?
Well, there was another article that came out that said someone purchased a crap ton of Bitcoin for their birthday. I don't know where that thing went.
It's nuts. It is nuts. Yeah, we'll see where the market cap's going, man. It's everything is just, I don't know. You just never know what's going to happen. And Cosmos is making a freaking climb right now.
Yeah, it's my second biggest bag.
So is Phantom, Stellar, yeah. Phantom Internet Stellar. Computer, Hedera,
yeah.
FTX token, dude, Filecoin. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's happening. Tezos.
Yeah, I love Helium. Tezos.
Helium.
Helium's interesting. I still haven't been able to get my hands on a freaking helium miner yet.
Me either.
it's so difficult to get one. I don't want to pay what people are charging. People are charging like $2,000 for a helium miner right now. When you could buy them, like I have orders put through for Bobcat right now, but they're not going to ship for like 6 months.
Mom.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know where these coins are going to go when they first came out. When helium first came out, you could have got the helium miners a lot easier than when the coin is now worth, what, $30, $40?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't know.
Yeah. It's just crazy, man. I think just everybody just keep doing your research and invest cautiously. Just know.
Yep.
You could definitely win and you could definitely lose. So easy come, easy go. Yeah, so we're over an hour into this episode. Cyclone's like, 4 more hours!
Yeah, that's what he always says.
But we appreciate everybody who's coming out here to listen to our BS. There's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff that is going on out there. And we just like to just hang out, talk to you guys, and just enjoy it, you know? Make sure you guys leave us a comment, leave us a review, share the video. Appreciate everybody who did follow us in 2021 and helped us continue to grow. Hopefully we could double down this year. That'll be a nice thing to see if our numbers continue to climb. And yeah, again, if you enjoy the stuff that we talk about, share it with somebody and leave us any suggestions that you guys would love us to talk about, any other types of subjects. Yeah, next level. Anything you got before we get the hell out of here?
You know what I say, guys? Thank you guys again for following us. Wherever we post our content, if you guys are listening to us on the audio side, make sure that you give us a review so other people like yourself can find the content that you enjoy. If you're looking to be a part of the conversation or the community, we do our live shows on Thursday, roughly around 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you guys can come out, interact with us live, be a part of the conversation, be a part of the community. Make sure that you're always checking the description to see what kind of deals that we have going on. There's always really, really good sponsors that come out and sponsor us here at Beyond Streams. So we appreciate you guys just showing them some love, clicking on the links, not necessarily having to buy anything, but just check out what the deals are. You never know what's going to be beneficial for you. Make sure that you are clicking the notification button because you never know what kind of content, where we're going to be dropping it, and where the conversations are going to go, or who we're going to have on. 2022 is going to be an interesting year, and we're looking at bringing back some people that we've had in the past. And if you miss those conversations, you're not going to want to miss the next one. So make sure that you have those notifications turned on, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.